All right. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys and all your smiling faces and some faces that are still waking up. Well, let's go before the Lord in prayer and we're going to dive right in. Father God, we come before you in the name of Jesus and we thank you for our lives. We thank you so much for Christ living in us. Father, it's because of Christ that we have a hope of glory. And Father God, we want to hear from you this morning. Speak through us and to us that we could grow stronger in our faith and be able to weather the storms. We love you in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I probably need to be turned off in any monitor because I'm hearing a little ringing, but all right. Well, to start off, I just wanted to kind of set the stage a little bit. Some of you guys have heard me a few times now. And so I tend to take after my father, who preaches in stories. He will preach. I remember as a young kid, he'd be up in the loft of the garage at our house, and he'd be writing his notes, and we'd look at his notes after he preached. There was one scripture and a story behind it. And he would preach himself happy off that one scripture, and he'd dive into like 20 more scriptures, but I tend to tell stories. So don't worry. If you're not tracking with a story, just hear it out, and you will see how it applies to the scriptures that we're talking about. Okay, with that, turn your Bibles to the book of John chapter 16. We're not going to read it yet, but turn it there. Sorry if my throat's a little raspy. I've been burning wood all week because we have the burn permits were still open. So we're burning branches. I've been breathing smoke all week, but we're good. Okay, I want to talk to you guys, tell you a little story about a place that I call Nava's Nursery or Dawn's Daycare. Nava's Nursery or Dawn's Daycare. I have a good friend named Don Nava. And when I was a little young man, 1991, I was a summer between junior and senior year, Coach Nava told my dad, hey, I want to train the boys. So me and my brothers, 12, 14, and 16, we hear that we're going to get to go train with Coach Don Nava. This guy used to train the 49ers of the 80s. And if you follow the 49ers of the 80s, those were some good teams. And so we knew him. He was a family friend, but we weren't super close with him yet. So at the time, he was teaching a side class at a monastery. And there was Catholic monks and people walking around everywhere, but they had this fitness room. And so we show up the first day to get ready our summer vacation. We're going to go train with Coach Nava. And so we're all excited. Yeah, he trains the 49ers, and we this tiny room, smaller than the, what's that room called? I call it the Awana's room, the fellowship hall. Smaller than that. And we walk in and we're expecting to see fancy weights and treadmills and stuff. There's nothing except for a couple stationary bikes. And there's a elderly lady sitting on it, just kind of wiggling her legs, looking at us like, what are you doing here? And so we walk in and we're looking for the big weights because, you know, teenagers, they're not lacking for endurance and energy and we're ready to lift something heavy. And so we walk in, we say hi to Coach, and there's these little white bars with different colors on them. And I go to my brothers, is it just me or do those bars look really small? So we say hi and, hey Coach, which bar do we get? He goes, pick whichever one you want. Well, how heavy is the heaviest one? 20 pounds. And I'm thinking, oh boy, 20 pounds. This is embarrassing. Here I am all excited. I'm going to do this 49er workout. And we get 20 pounds? So we go, okay, what do we do, Coach? He goes, well, we're going to start off jogging. And so he jogs around the room at about this pace. And we jog for 20 minutes. And I'm going, oh boy, I thought I was getting myself in shape for football season and going to test myself and be excellent this year. Then all of a sudden, 20 minutes ended, And he tore us up for 40 minutes. The hardest workouts I have ever done, moving the whole time, jumping, sit-ups, push-ups, running, side shuffles, catching things. By the end of the first hour, we were, let's just say we had to make a few trips outside to the bushes because we thought we were in the best shape of our lives. But when the trial came, when Novice Nursery, and why is it Novice Nursery? We'd be slacking a little bit. He'd go, boys, champion. He calls champions. Champions, this isn't Novice Nursery. This isn't Don's Daycare. Get moving. And that became the title of our summer, Novice Nursery, Don's Daycare. We brought some friends to come experience this with us, and they'd come one day, they'd go visit the bushes, not feeling so good during the workout, and then that'd be it. Why do you guys want to do this? And for something in us, that just that challenge of getting ready and feeling like we're doing something. Well, as the summer wore on, we started to adapt and grow and get stronger to what Coach Nava was putting us through. And we went to high school. That summer, they had double days, 2 weeks of two practices a day. And the coach decided he's going to bring everyone in a week early for a special week, he called it. It was the opposite of Heaven Week. We'll put it to you that way. And he said, during this opposite of Heaven Week, you're going to come in condition. So me and my brothers were out there. Now, we're not the fastest guys. So they start doing wind sprints and stuff. The first half of the exercises, we're in the middle of the pack. But as the practice went on and there was more sprinting, more tests, more trials, more difficulties, all of a sudden, we start moving up through the ranks. Why? Because we've been through this before. We're not tired yet. There's other peoples visiting the bushes over there. We're done with the bushes. We're running. We're ready for what's coming our way. Are you in the book of John? Yeah. Amen. Okay. John chapter 16, verse 33. It says this. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. What will you have many of? Trials and sorrows. But take heart, I have overcome the world. It was then, during the opposite of Heaven Week, that we realized that Don's Daycare, Novice Nursery, was not for then. It was for the trials. What we went through that summer wasn't for that summer, it was for the fall. When the real game came, when the real test started coming, when the opposition got greater, we realized it wasn't easy, but it was good. Can you say that with me? It wasn't easy, but it was good. Let's turn over to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2, 22. 2 Timothy, chapter 2, 22. It says this. It says, run. Run, run, run. 2 Timothy 2:22, run from anything that stimulates youthful lust. Instead, pursue righteous living, faithfulness, love, and peace. Enjoy the companionship of those who call on the Lord with pure hearts. What are we to run from? The temptations, the things that stir up inside of us, sin. And what this translation in the New Living, it says, pursue righteousness, pursue faithfulness, pursue love, and pursue peace. And who are we supposed to hang out with? Who is to be our companions? Those who call upon the Lord with pure hearts. As we look back at our past, each one of us has gone through a Novice Nursery. Each one of us have had our season of Don's Daycare, where the trials, you know those times where you don't know if you're going to make it through. But God in His wisdom uses all things for the good, for His glory. God gets glory when His children go through the trials of life, celebrating God's faithfulness to us. Well, that's a tough task right there. You don't do that on your first lap around. You don't sit and eat potato chips all summer and watch cartoons all summer and show up to the opposite of Heaven Week and think that you're going to all of a sudden be a champion. No, you're going to be visiting the bushes. God knows, the Bible says that God, he declares the end from what? From the beginning. So he declares the end from the beginning. And since he knows what the end is like, he knows what you need to be strengthened in to make it to the end. It's an amazing thing when you teach a young person, teaching my kids snowboarding, they get out there and they think they're pros after the first day. And you go, well, you're doing very good for your first day, but we're on the magic carpet. The magic carpet is a little different. See all that stuff over there? That's different than the magic carpet that kind of magically pulls you up the hill and, oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. As their dad, I know what it's going to take to get them ready to go up Pyramid Peak with me. I don't want to hang out at the ski resort. I'm looking forward to the day when I get my son, my daughters, and they get to go up a big mountain with me and go down that. But you know what? The magic carpet is not proper training to go up Pyramid Peak. Is it a start? Yes, it's a start. But you know the routine. You got to move from the magic carpet to the green circle to the blue square to the black diamond, and then gets a little wild after that. God declares the end from the beginning. And because he knows what tests and trials we're going to go through, what opposition we're going to face as we put our hands to the plow, he allows us to be tested and purified, to burn away what's not desired. You have been made stronger through what is difficult, not by what is easy. There's no magic carpet, Christians. The Christians that make it through to the end are the ones who have got off the magic carpet and moved on to test, allow God to test and try what is inside of us, to refine the gold. Sometimes we've gone through difficulties due to poor choices. Some of us have made some bad decisions and went through some tough times because of it. A believer who trusts in Jesus grows stronger through it all. Why? Because we cannot outrun God's love. Nope. There's no place I could run and hide to get away from God's love. And so even the poor choices we make, when we turn to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, even those poor choices, all of a sudden, it starts to refine us. Let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians, because I have a warning. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6 through 10 says this, "For God, who said, 'Let there be light in the darkness,' has made this light shine in our hearts, so we could know the glory of God that is seen in the face of Jesus Christ." Verse 7, "We now have this light shining in our hearts, but we ourselves are like fragile clay jars containing this great treasure. This makes it clear that our great power is from God, not from ourselves." One time again, "Our great power is from God, not from ourselves." Verse 8, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed. We are perplexed, but not driven to despair. We are hunted down, but never abandoned by God. We get knocked down, but we are not destroyed. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies." We see in this passage that suffering, it's these difficulties, allow us to share in the death of Christ. Through the sufferings, the life of Jesus is displayed to a dying world. If you've ever talked to, done evangelism out on the street and just talked to people, there's some people that are on the hook, and there's other people that are as far away from the hook as possible. And they look at you as a Christian, and they say, you look like everything's perfect. And I know what I'm going through in my life. Our perfection doesn't display the life of Christ here on earth. It's when you're sitting with someone, you see someone sitting down and you start talking to them and you start to find out the trials they're going through, the difficulty they're going through, and you open up and share God's faithfulness to you in your trial, in your sickness, in your loss. All of a sudden, the loss says, I see Christ in their suffering. One more time again, verse 10. Through suffering, our bodies continue to share in the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be seen in our bodies. Here's the warning, church. Trials will come and trials will go. Are we clear? We all know that to be true. Trials come and trials go. The warning is this. When we remove ourselves from the vine, we miss out on displaying the life of Christ through our suffering. When we remove ourselves from the vine and try to face the difficulty in our own strength, we miss out on the opportunity to share in the death of Jesus. We've seen this before. After a while, we start to despair the trial. Because all of a sudden the trial loses its meaning. And when you have no meaning, when there's no purpose to what you're going through, when you have no hope, it leads to despair. And yet the scripture's clear that the suffering we go through helps us share in the death of Christ and display the life of Christ. The displaying and the sharing comes when we remain in the vine, when we remain with Christ, when we do it in our own strength, when we stew in our own little mud puddle of misery, we miss out on the opportunity to share what is so important. We can go through that same desperate pain and remain strong if we have purpose. It isn't easy, but it's good. I don't wish to go through it again, but God, it was good now, or He is good now, and He was good then. When I was in pain, He was still good. When I was in pain, I felt even closer to God. Anyone who's gone through an incredible loss or an incredible trial in life knows that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted. That is the closeness we need to share with the lost and the dying. Don's daycare was not for the summer. It was for the big trials during the season. The magic carpet and green circle that God leads us through. The green pastures He leads us through. Our test to build us up to where we can trust Him through the valley of the shadow of death. Because we know that that's part of the trail we're on. The Bible declared, I have told you this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. We have been promised trials and sorrows. The trials and the sorrows are not always a sign that you're going the wrong way. Sometimes it is when you're making those goofy mistakes, but oftentimes you got your hands to the plow and you're going the right way. You're being led by the Holy Spirit to minister and do the things God's calling you to do, and yet the opposition there is there. We've been promised the trials and the sorrows. I know in my life, when Erica's mom passed away 3 years ago, And Erica started watching Grandma down in Sacramento. She'd be gone for a couple of weeks each month. And I got to be honest, there was times, maybe some single dads do it with a smile, but there was some times where I was beat. Getting up early in the morning to do church work. And, oh man, you guys, the moms, you know the routine with the kids all day. Dads, you know, we get to see them after work, and you know, your mind is kind of starting fresh with the kids, but when you're with them all day, oh boy. And I remember after serving lunch, I'd sit on the couch and I'd fall asleep, and the kids would be tapping me, "Daddy, why are you sleeping? It's daytime." Oh man, I was sleeping every chance I could get. I just couldn't get enough sleep. Those kids would wear me out. I didn't want their life to be too changed by what our family was going through. But I remember in times of prayer, I'd pray a less honorable version of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, that, "Lord, if it be thy will, take this cup from me." I would pray that prayer, but in less honorable terms. "God, when is this going to finish? When do I get my wife back? When is this going to be over? What did we do to deserve this?" And yet, you know what? That was my Dawn's daycare. That was Nava's nursery in my life. I'm not saying I've arrived. Believe me, I haven't. But that was a high watermark. It was a place where I know God could take me through, and He would remain faithful to me through it all. And then, as you know, I get my wife back, and life kind of goes back to a normal roar. It's never actually calm with our three, but it goes back to a low roar. All of a sudden, you look at the storms coming your way, and you say, "Wait a minute. God got me through this. There's going to be other seasons of no sleep. There's going to be other seasons of lack, of hunger, of sickness. But you know what, God? You are faithful. It's not easy, but I want to be found in the camp of those who declare it's not easy, but it's good." Why? Because He is with us. I want to be found in the camp that shares in the death of Jesus by laying my life down for others, especially those three little whippersnappers back there in that room. As their father, I need to lay my life down for them, to show them what Christ did for us. They've been around the things of God for a while, and they can repeat certain things. They're still on the magic carpet with God. They're still on the green circle. But there will come a day when you know they're going to go through tests and trials. What will they do with it? Will they remain in the vine? Or will they disconnect and say, I signed up to be happy? No, no, no. We signed up to follow our Lord and Savior wherever He goes. Amen. I deserve to be happy. Ooh. I remember we used to share a church building, and there was a gentleman that went to a church that was using the building with us, and I would talk to him, and I didn't have kids yet, and Eric and I were already married, and he had, I believe, one little girl, and I would talk to him as the two churches would exchange the building on Sundays. Real nice guy, and I remember one Sunday I was talking to him, and he was just down. I could tell something was wrong. And so I'm talking with him, and all of a sudden, you know, it just comes out. His marriage is struggling. He's just going through it. He's in a real tough spot. The trials, and he was lacking hope. And so, you know, his brother in Christ, I didn't preach him a sermon, just talk to him and share with him what the Word of God says, pray with him, try to encourage him, and then I didn't see him for a couple months. So one day, I go to the gym in our town, and I'm working out, and I look over, and here's this brother. He's a Christian. And I forgot to tell you, I had told him at the church, "I'm going to pray for you every day till I get the report from you that God gave you the victory in this. I see him at the gym and I run over to him, and wow, I felt like a real prayer warrior, Linda. He was smiling and his spirit was up, and I just felt like, wow, I've been doing some good prayers. Thank you, Lord. This is good stuff. And so I give him a hug and, how are you doing? And I'm talking with him, and all of a sudden, I try to, you know, because I've been praying for this guy for a couple months now and I haven't seen him. So I steer the conversation towards, how's your wife doing? How's your girl? And he goes, oh, we got a divorce. And I went, oh, all of a sudden my self-esteem of being a prayer warrior went down a little bit. But I went, oh, I'm so sorry to hear that. And he said, oh, don't worry. It's for the best. And I went, oh, what about your little girl? And he says, well, she gets to be with me and she gets to be with mommy. But, you know, the Bible says something about that God wants us to be happy. And I deserve to be happy. And now when my daughter's with me, she gets to be with a happy daddy. I'm happy now. Church, we have never been promised in the Bible that God will make everything light and fluffy. We don't deserve to be happy. We all know what we deserve. We all deserve hell. Outside of Christ, that's what we deserve. And even with Christ in our life, we were promised many trials and many sorrows. The doctrine of I deserve to be happy doesn't stand many of the tests. We are pressed. We are perplexed. But God's got us. And we will share in his death. And we will display his life and his glory. Church, it's a change in the way we let this mind think. We'll be able to look out at other families that look like they have it all together. Other families that seem to have it all. And it's so weird when you look out and you say, well, why can't we have what they have? They seem to have everything together. You know what? It's very hard to judge on the surface. Why? Because you don't know the storms that are happening behind the scenes. If I didn't ask that brother how his marriage was going, I would have thought everything was good. And yet the bomb had gone off in his life. And unfortunately, he chose to disconnect from the vine. He chose to do it in his own strength and to pursue happiness. Does that mean that every Christian's marriage is solid? No, it doesn't mean that. But what it means is we are to allow Christ to perfect inside of us that which needs to change. And for some strange reason, he uses our spouse to bring out a lot of the changes that need to take place. Other families will seem it all together. But wait till conditioning week comes. Wait till the opposite of heaven week comes. Then you see who has been trained up, who has been refined, who has been tested and tried and been made stronger because of God's strength being made perfect in our weakness. Who will have the perspective to see our light and momentary afflictions properly? We all see the afflictions. We all know the afflictions are there. But which of us will see it properly in the light of God? I don't know why I have to go through this, but I know you're with me. I know you have not forsaken me just because all this stuff is going wrong in my life. God, I don't know what your purpose is, but you already declared the end from the beginning. Therefore, I'm going to trust you through each step of the way. It's when the fire hits that we see who chose fair weather friends and who chose to be with those who call upon the name of the Lord with pure hearts. Church, there is a war for your testimony. There is a war for your testimony. We can be deceived and put on the face of, it's all good, life's great, I'm happy, everything's good, and yet behind the closet door is a, you open the door and it all floods out. We could also say, life is horrible. I don't know why I keep going through this. I don't know why the doctor's report came back in the exact opposite way I was praying for. I don't understand this. There is a war for your testimony. Satan wants to keep us unsatisfied with life, to get us to stop sharing in Christ's death and from displaying Christ's life. These storms aren't easy, but they are good. They're not easy, but they are good. Can that be our testimony in a world that's dying? That yes, we go through the storms too, but those storms are good. To be able to look at someone in all honesty and say, the worst day of my life was actually the best day of my life. The day that I suffered the most, God used that to bring more good and more purpose in my life than all of the celebratory days. To be able to say that with honesty shows that you've gone through something and God remained faithful and you stayed attached. These storms aren't easy, but they are good. I was praying the last couple days about, Lord, what do you have for the church? What are some storms that are hitting the church that aren't easy, but they're good? And God put two on my heart. Let's turn to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1. How many of you here have loved ones who aren't walking with the Lord? If you're like me, you got a bunch of them. There's this thing inside of us that says, God, you know, as you pray for your family members, loved ones, coworkers, people that mean something to you, and you see them going, seemingly getting further and further away from what you're praying for, there's this thing inside of us that says, but God, I want them to get saved now. I want to move on. I want to check this one off my prayer list. Okay. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. So be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed to the whole world. The hardships will remain for a while, but we're told there's wonderful joy ahead. I want to encourage you guys, praying for a child or a grandchild or you name them, it's not easy, but there is wonderful joy ahead. Amen? These are the tests. These are the tests that we go through where we see God's faithfulness, and it wasn't in the time when we wanted it, but it was perfect. Amen? Amen? I remember being in children's church, and there was a song that went like this. It went, in His time, He makes all things beautiful. In His time, and if I remember the words, Lord, my life to You I bring. May each song I have to sing be to You a lovely thing. In Your time, it's His time. Our time says, God, save that young man, knock him off his horse, blind him with the light, Lord. We want it now. And God says, son, daughter, not only, this is a test for you. This is teaching you to pray without ceasing. This is to teach you to pray and not waver and not doubt in your heart. To pray for this young one, to pray for your spouse, to pray for those who are wandering from the faith, and to not lose hope. Why? Because God declares the end from the beginning. You and your household shall be saved. God, I will not stop praying for these cousins of mine. I will not stop praying for my children. Why? Because I don't want to lose hope. What comes once you lose hope? Nothing good. Nothing good. The question was, if Jesus is the answer, what's the question? It doesn't matter. Jesus is the answer. We have not been called to pray and lose hope because it doesn't happen. We've been called to pray and know that God is using this prayer time to build inside of us a fortitude to be able to speak out and call things that are not as though they were. I got to see that firsthand with my mother-in-law praying for Erica's brother and sister. And she would pray these prayers that were like kind of awkward because she was speaking over them things that she was seeing in the spirit about what they were going to do for God. And as the son-in-law, I'm sitting there saying, well, that seems a bit far off, but okay, we're praying. But you know what she was doing? She was celebrating God's faithfulness in her children's life, even though she wasn't seeing it. God's got it. God's got it. I don't. I can't save anyone, neither can you. That's one of the encouragements I want to leave with you today. It isn't easy praying, but it's good. And the trials show what your faith is really made of, and that faith is so precious. The second thing and the last thing I want to share with you guys, it's not easy, but it's good, is watching you guys do church without a pastor. You know, I'm just your brother in Christ, but I will say, as someone looking in, I know it hasn't been easy, but I think you guys are doing a phenomenal job. It's so amazing to see a church that doesn't have a pastor, and yet you see pastoral gifts being used in the body of Christ. Church, you guys have evangelists here. And you guys are loaded with teachers. It's pretty unbelievable. You guys have quite a few people that teach the Word of God. Just, I'm in awe. It hasn't been easy, but church, you haven't done anything wrong. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you what? The kingdom. Please don't take this in a wrong way. I love you guys. The Bible doesn't declare it's your Father's good pleasure to give you a pastor when you want it. It's His good pleasure to give you the kingdom. And church, you guys are doing the work of the kingdom. What a blessing. What a blessing to go over there in that Awana's room. That's what drew us to this church, was the work, the VBS and the Awana's group. To see those kids over there, I know some of you guys don't come, but you would be in awe at the depth of some of these children. When teacher Kevin is asking questions, they're going, ooh, that's a tough one. And little Brooklyn just starts preaching, and you're like, whoa. These kids have been having the Word of God deposited in their heart. Guys, the work of the ministry is happening. What are you going to do to be a part of it? There's a temptation. I know it has not been easy, but there's a temptation. And please take this the right way. Please. I love you guys. There could be a temptation to say, Samuel, give us a king. Do you understand what I'm saying? Samuel, we want to be like everyone else. We want a king. And believe me, I will celebrate the day when you guys get a pastor. But until then, God's grace is perfect. Amen. In your midst. It's not easy, but it's good. Amen? Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you so much for your word that is a lamp unto our feet and a light to our path. Father, I want to pray specifically for the two areas that I brought up here at the end. For those of us who have been praying for some whippersnappers in our life, Lord, those who have fallen away, Father God, I just pray by the Holy Spirit for boldness to pray prayers that haven't been prayed. Father God, I know that sometimes it gets discouraging when we look at things with our eyes. But Father God, we want to see things the way you see them. We want to love those struggling people in our life with the love of Christ, not with the selfish love that sometimes we project on them, that they need to act the way we desire for them to act. Father God, we just pray that the yoke would be broken in their life, that the addictions would be broken in their life, and use us for whatever you desire, Lord. Father, I pray for especially the prayer ministry at this church with Sister Linda. Lord, I just pray that you would stir up in our hearts a desire to be faithful at praying. Praying that the will of God would be done in this church just as it is in heaven. And Father God, we thank you for your faithfulness to always provide for this church what this church needs. This church is not forgotten. It's not neglected. It's not falling apart. We are the bride of Christ, and you love us, Lord. We thank you for your times being perfect, that you make all things beautiful in your time. Father, I pray for peace in the hearts of this flock here, especially in the elders and deacons who are trying so hard and working so hard to make ministry happen. Lord, we thank you that it's not by might, not by power, but it's by your Spirit. Father God, it's not easy, but it's good. And we trust you in the difficulty. We trust you in the sickness. We trust you in the pain, that you're refining gold that is precious in our lives, Lord. Father God, we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen.